Well, hey, we are in this series, Augmented Reality. We're kind of starting to back up. What it is we are in the book of Ephesians. We're going through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and so we're just continuing that on today. Now, the reason it's a sequel is because we were in chapter 5, now we're in chapter 6. If you were here previously with us, Pastor Paul and his wife Melody actually ended the previous series with building a stronger marriage. And today, if you're going to go sequel, you got to do parenting children, right? That's kind of the sequel into Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the book of Ephesians was just a letter that a guy named the Apostle Paul wrote to a place called Ephesus, and so we call them the Ephesians. And it was just a group of people, and they would pass this letter from church to church in this region of churches around the city of Ephesus. And so as we jump in today, that's where we're going to be for the majority of our time. But I want you to also capture, what is augmented reality? Because I got to be honest, the first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know what that is. I don't even know what this looks like. And so I want to give you a visual. You probably have seen this more than you realize. It was on a lot of the shows that my wife and I watched. So check out this video. This is your favorite home improvement show or DIY show. You probably have watched these things where they kind of peel back what is there, and then through computer technology, they show you all the hopes and dreams for the family. And if you watch these shows at all, you and I know at this point in the story of this show, they don't know what's wrong with the house yet, because there's going to be something majorly wrong with that house. That's how it goes. Yeah, I guess you don't make it on an episode unless something's wrong with the house. But that's how it goes. So that is augmented reality. And when we step into that, we all have those dreams, right, about what could be with our house, with our family. We start dreaming about it, like, what could our kids become? Even when we have adult children, we still dream about what could become true about their lives, and then maybe it even transfers down to grandkids. But we have these dreams for our family. But today, I kind of want to peel back from all of the decorations and the dreams that we could be having, and I want to get to the foundation and the supports of the house and really get down to the basics of what it is to build a stronger family. If we could put all the decorations we want on a house, but if that foundation is faulty, it's coming down. If those structural supports aren't in place right, the decorations are only going to make it look good for so long, because it's eventually going to come down. Now, if I'm going to talk about family, I need to introduce my family to you, okay? Some of you know my family. Most of you probably don't. So I'm the pastor out at our Vandalia campus. I've been there for almost 3 years, but I want to introduce my family to you. So this is, you see my wife, Rachel. We have been married for 14 years. Technically, it's still 2 months before it's 14 years, but I'm getting in the habit of saying that so that I get it right when we get there. So 14 years, and then our three kiddos. That was at Christmas out at our campus. We had one of the photo booth things that you guys have here, I'm sure. Let me introduce my children to you. Now, when I introduce my children, I'm going to tell you the dreams that they have for their life, all right? So my first child there, our oldest, is Amelie. There she is. So she obviously loves reading books in her little swing in her room, all right? So she has this dream. Now, I have to tell you, she's a type 1 diabetic, okay? So I tell you that because the dream that she has is to go to a very prestigious medical university. She wants to become a doctor, and she wants to be the doctor that finds the cure for type 1 diabetes. That's her dream, all right? So that's what she wants to do. Now, my second child, different aspirations, right? All of our children are a little bit different, same in my house. So second child, her name's Ayla, all right? She, you can see she's singing there. From about the time that she could talk, I mean, like, first words were pretty much, I want to be a rock star. That is, she has said this at everything you ever ask her. She writes it down every year at school. They're like, what do you want to be? And she always says, rock star. All the other kids are like, doctor, veterinarian. She's rock star every time. So this year for her birthday, somebody bought her a karaoke machine, okay? And the karaoke machine, it's funny because I'll watch her. She'll sing music, and like, it'll play music. It'll play the words. Yeah, she's too good for the words that they have. She makes up her own words. So that's her. Now, like, she's a fireball, okay? And she just gets after it. Then my son, he's a little stinker. So he can't talk real well yet, but I can tell you, whenever a sport is on TV, doesn't matter what it is, soccer, basketball, baseball, football, it doesn't matter. He wants to put on one of Daddy's hats. Now, I say that loosely because that Cubs hat is not Daddy's hat, all right? That snuck in there, all right? But he puts on one of Daddy's hats, and then he'll grab this Ohio State, like, Nerf basketball that I have, and then he'll want Daddy to sit on the floor, and then he runs Daddy over. That is his goal, all right? So maybe there's, like, an inner running back in there. I don't know. My wife does not want the inner running back to come out, but, hey, if it's in there, we're going to have to just embrace it. So those are the dreams of my kids, and we all have these dreams. But in order to build a strong home, we need to put some things in place to even have a chance to see some of those dreams come true. Now, as I talk about this, as you can see, my children are still young. You may be parenting teens. You may have adult children. So I want you to understand. I understand that I'm at a different season of life in parenting. I do get that. But I also want to tell you that I was a youth pastor for over 10 years. So I understand the teenage world. I understand the college world. I understand the frustrations that can come with that. I can understand just trying to figure things out. I've seen them frustrate their parents and leaders, okay? I've seen them do that, okay? So I do understand that world. I have had to lean into that, even though I haven't parented that. But I want to also say, I am not a perfect parent, okay? That may be, like, shocking news. I don't know. But I am not a perfect parent. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I am not a perfect parent. I can give you a story. So here, my children are not perfect children, okay? There was one time where I was dropping off one of my daughters. You can guess which one based off what you already know. I was dropping off one of my daughters into our children's ministry at the church. And dropped her off, walking away to go do what I needed to do as a pastor. And I hear her, I mean, you can tell your child's voice. I hear her yelling at the volunteer, "I don't like you!" And I'm sitting there, this person is serving my family, and I'm the pastor, and my kid is saying they don't like them. Yeah, so I've had to deal with that as a parent. Also, you know, I've lost my temper as a parent when you've told them to do something for the 345th time, right? Like, it just comes out of us. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm still learning. So understand, I'm going to give some grace your way because I understand we're all trying to do our best as parents. Give some grace this way as you understand that I'm not perfect either. So let's jump in. Before we jump into the book of Ephesians, though, I want to share another passage of scripture with you because we got to get the foundation right before we can start building our home and making it stronger. So first, we're going to look at Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So here's what I want you to grasp today. This is what I want you to grasp. To build a stronger home, we need to build it on Jesus with his structural supports. If we're going to build a strong home, we have got to start with Jesus. He is the strongest foundation you can have. What does it mean to put Jesus as the foundation of our home? We saw it in that passage. We saw it there where it says, you hear what Jesus says and you do it. You hear what Jesus says and you do it. If we are consistent in that, we will start laying a strong foundation in our homes and for our families. Now, it's not going to be perfect, right? We're going to mess up. We all do. But it's having that heartbeat to be consistent, to hear what Jesus has to say to us, and then do it. And it lays this strong foundation. Because you know and I know, storms are coming. Maybe for some of you, storms are already here. You're like, yeah, Tim, this is the third one in a week. It's already here. Storms are going to come. And if we are not built on a strong foundation, our houses are going to fall apart. We see it there in Luke 6. So hear what Jesus says and be willing to do it. All right, that's the most critical piece that I can give you. Now, if we have that strong foundation and we're like, okay, I know what the foundation is, how do I start building my house? Well, we're going to jump into the first structural support. And we find that in Ephesians 6, 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So our first structural support is To build a stronger home, we need to obey our parents as they obey Jesus. Obey our parents as they obey Jesus. So parents, one thing that we've got to be consistent is obeying Jesus, laying that foundation, right? We've got to get that right. Now, teens, young adults here, maybe you've never thought about this. I can tell you when I was your age, I did not have this thought. So if you can grasp this thought, it's going to instantly make your family stronger. But if you will obey your parents, your home will become a stronger home. If you just simply do that. I don't know if you realize that you kind of have the power within you to make your home stronger, but you do. If you will just obey your parents as they obey Jesus. Now, I put the caveat in there. We want our parents guiding us in instruction of the Lord. But we need to obey our parents, and it builds a stronger home. Now, I understand the pushback that you may have with this, right? Like, seriously, Tim, like, all the time? Like, obey them all the time? Like, do I do that all the time? Like, every time, do I do that? And 99.99% of the time, I would say, you probably need to obey your parents. There's probably that very few instances where your parent is actually going to tell you something that's dangerous and detrimental. I'll give that caveat in there. But most of the time, you need to obey your parents, okay? But let me give you a few filters. So, teens, young adults, here's a few filters to walk through. Parents, you may want to grasp these because your child may be putting these filters on you here in the future. But so this first one is the command found in God's word? So if your parents are saying, like, don't lie, don't steal, if they're saying, you know, forgive them, love them, be kind to them, care about them, these are all things found in God's word that God wants us to do. And it doesn't matter if your parents love Jesus or not. These things God wants you to do, and you should do them. Like, even if your parents aren't doing it because of the whole Jesus thing, we should obey our parents just because God definitely wants us to do these things. So that's the first filter. If the command is found in God's word, do it. Second filter, is the command sound wisdom that I may not be able to see? All right? Listen, as we get older, we just naturally become wiser. If we learn from our mistakes, if we learn how to do things better, it's natural. So your parents may see something and they're giving you a command simply because they can see something you can't. All right, so what does this look like? One of these could be, go take a shower. All right, it could be that, right? There's no, like, command in God's word that says, go take a shower. But it is wisdom, all right? Just trust us, it is. So you can do that, all right? Another one may be, there's a curfew. Right, you may have to be in at a certain time, right? Like, there's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt be home by 11 o'clock. Like, it's not there. But there is wisdom behind that, right? There is wisdom behind that, and they're trying to teach you and put boundaries up for you. Another one may be that, like, do your homework or do your work before you start hanging out with your friends or going on Xbox Live or, you know, whatever the play thing is. Do your work first. And you can say, yeah, but I'll get it done later. Maybe you will. Maybe you've proven that you will. But it's just sound wisdom to just go ahead and get the work done first. And I want you to hear this. Colossians 3 actually talks about that if you're going to do work, do it as you're doing work for the Lord, for Jesus. So even in that case, like, do it like you're doing it for Jesus. Third filter that you can put things through. Is the command a difference of opinion? Is the command a difference of opinion? All right, so you may actually come up with something that's extremely wise, all right? Because I've had the 15, 16-year-old that has said something, I'm like, whoa, that actually was better than what I thought. Like, they came up with something pretty solid there. And there may be a time where you're like, I understand, Mom and Dad, I'm not trying to disobey, but I do think it would be better to do it this way. Now, in these moments, if your parents still go with what they want, it is on you to obey. All right? Parents, let me talk to you, though, for a second with this. Don't you want to teach your children how to make wise decisions? I know I do with my children. I know I want the youth in our church to figure out how to do that. And in these moments where our sons and daughters may be coming up with something where you're like, you know what, it's not quite as good as what I'm seeing as a solution, but that's pretty solid. It may be time to just give a little leniency and go, okay, I think my way is better, but we're going to let it go this way. And what we're doing is we're teaching them how to make wise decisions. So as they grow up, they can learn, and they can, maybe they go out and they're like, oh, I understood why you wanted me to do it your way. It still worked, but it would have been better if I did your thing. And they're just learning how to make wise decisions. And we need to do that because it's good parenting to foster that within our children. Now, teens, young adults, I also want you to understand, you're going to have the thoughts like, Tim, but you don't get it. My parents, they don't get it. They don't get my generation. They don't get my culture. They don't get my school. They don't get my friends. I want to tell you, that may be true. It may be true because I can tell you when I brought my daughter home from the hospital, they did not give me a manual that said Amelie Wyrock and everything you're going to need to know about her wife, her life, and how to do everything correctly. Like, there was no manual for that, right? I couldn't turn to page one and be like, okay, so she's screaming, and at 11 o'clock, all I have to do is feed her, and she's going to stop screaming. No, I'm sitting there going like, okay, we've fed you, we've changed you, like, what do you want? You're just screaming. And as a 15-year-old, you know, I know she's going to eventually kind of like lose her mind, and I'm going to, it is, she is, and I'm going to go, what happened? Like, and I can't turn to like page 250 and go, okay, this is what's going on. All I have to do is this, and it's the answer. Ah, we're done. Like, that's not in the, there's no manual for that. A lot of times, we're just trying to do the best we can as parents. So please understand, give your parents some grace and leniency to understand that they are probably trying to do their best with what they know about you and what they know about life, okay? So, and then obey them. Obey them. So let's go to the second structural support. So this previous one was really heavily focused on children. This one is for everybody. All of us can do this next one. It's found in Ephesians 6, 2, and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So the second structural support is to build a stronger home, we need to value our parents. We need to value our parents. In this, I want to deal with the promise here. So you see, it's going to go well for you. It's going to be long life. This does not mean you're going to live to be 100 and you're going to be a billionaire. That is not what it means, okay? What it does mean is that your life is going to be blessed. There's going to be blessing on your life if you honor your parents. It may be the blessing you may receive may simply be that you have a great relationship with your parents. That's a blessing. It is. Maybe you'll see the financial stuff and you'll see the work promotions and all of that because of honoring your parents. But it may just be that you have a great relationship with your parents. And that is a blessing to have that. What are some ways that we can, I do want to tell you, I kind of explained it in the structural support there, but what does it mean to honor our parents? Well, it means to elevate the value or the worth, in this case, of an individual. Elevate the value or the worth of an individual, and specific, in this case, our parents. So how do we do that? Now, I'm going to give you some really practical things. Like, you could literally do them as you're leaving today. You honestly, some of these you could do right now. I'm going to ask you not to, but you could do them right now. As you hear the one where it triggers for you, you're like, ooh, I could do that. Just write it down, okay? So one, call them. Call them. Like, when's the last time you called and talked to your parents? That shows value to them. They certainly feel valued from that. I'll give the caveat to text them. Like, you can text them too. Get a hold of them. Let them know you're alive. Like, just, hey, thinking about you. And it shows value, and you're honoring your parents. Another way, ask their opinion about something. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to take the opinion, all right? Some of you laughing, you know, all right? But you do. It shows value to ask the opinion, right? Hey, mom, dad, what do you think about this? And then you hear it, and maybe they'll come from a different angle where you're like, whoa, I didn't think about that. That was really good. I'll take that piece. And maybe it's just like, okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. And maybe it's like, oh, okay, that's way off. All right, maybe any of that. But asking their opinion shows them value, where they walk away and they're like, whoa, okay, they thought highly of enough of me to ask my opinion about something. Another one is say thank you. Most likely, most of our parents have sacrificed for us at some point in our life. We can say thank you. Just write a thank you note, in the text say thank you. It could be about anything, but just having a thankful heart about our parents. And then this other one, maybe we're not in the season of life for this yet, but as we all get older, this can be something. So I kind of want to put it on your radar, but making caring for them as they get older a priority. As our parents get older, they're going to need more help from us. And if we're just willing to kind of step in and help them, it shows value to them. Now, if we are younger and we have younger children, teens, young adults, here's one way you can do this right now, is if as your parents are getting older, they may not be able to keep up with that tech world. You can help keep up with the tech world for your parents, okay? You can kind of lean into that and help them bridge that gap. That's one way you can do it even now. I want to make this really practical, though, in an illustration with my family, okay? In my family, when we go through a lot of milk, and when we go through milk, empty milk jug, I pretty much just toss it in the garbage or the recycle bin or whatever. And I know some of you right now, you're the crafty people. You're like, oh, Tim, I got this great blog post, 100 things you can do with an empty milk jug. I don't need to know it. I'm good, okay? It's going in the trash can, okay? But one day, we finished up a carton of milk, and I was just going to throw it away. And my daughter, Ayla, my middle child, she said, hey, Dad, can I have that ring at the top? And I went, okay. I mean, you want to talk about a milk jug being worthless. I was like, what is she going to do with this thing? So I was like, okay. So I hand it to her, and she starts forming it, all right? She actually used her teeth. I'll spare you of that. But she formed it, and she handed it back, and she made a heart. Yes. She made a heart, and she handed it back. She goes, here, Daddy, I love you. Now, if you're like me, I went, I am the greatest dad alive. Like, that was a big moment for me, right? And I was like, I have the greatest daughter. Like, this, it was awesome. It was just a special moment. Well, this has become a thing in our house where when we go through a milk jug, actually, even now, both my daughters are trying to, like, if we open a new one, they're like, hey, can I have the ring? Like, it's become a thing where it's a race to the ring at the top, okay? And sometimes I'll beat them to it because I want to form it and give it to them and tell them I love them. Now, these things are all over our house. I was actually, I was just studying for this and everything. I looked in a cabinet, and I saw one, like, in the back of the cabinet. I was like, these really are all over our house. But they are. It's become something. My daughter found a way to turn something almost worthless. She found a way to turn it into value for Dad. And I think we need to do this with our parents. We need to find ways to turn things into value for our parents. Now, I want to share another side of this coin from my family. My grandpa, Wyrock, when my dad was about 11, my grandpa, Wyrock, ended up walking out of my dad's family. Left a single stay-at-home mom and 7 children, the youngest being an infant, okay? Caused a lot of pain, caused a lot of animosity towards Dad. And as my dad grew up and had his family, he ended up giving his life to Jesus. And then he came across a passage like this. And he's like, you know what? I want my children to see this in my life because I want it for them. And so he restored a relationship with his dad. And we ended up restoring it to the level where we would make the annual trek back to Southern Ohio to see our grandpa. That's what we would do. Now, when I say this, what I want you to grasp is my dad found a way to take a parent who had virtually made his life worthless, at least to his children, he found a way to bring value to it. Some of you right now, though, are thinking this, and you're thinking, Tim, but it's my parenting relationship is dangerous. I understand that's out there. Some of you cannot step back into that relationship because it is dangerous. I mean, whether it's just extreme pain, extreme verbal abuse or abuse, you cannot step back into there. You have to keep your distance, let alone your children. Like, you're not taking your children back in there. I get that. But we can still find a way to make our parents valuable. And let me give you one thing that we all can do to show extreme value to our parents. And it doesn't matter what your relationship is. We can all pray for our parents. I mean, you want to talk about putting value on your parents' lives? You're going before God Almighty. creator of the universe, savior of the world, and you're going to talk to him about your parents? That is huge. And we can all do that no matter what the relationship is with our parents. We can all do that. And we need to step in and do that and turn any relationship into value and into a heart. So that's our second structural support. What's the third one? Well, we find the third structural support in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So our third structural support is to build a stronger home, we need to raise our children with godly instruction. We need to raise our children with godly instruction. Now, I want to address this first word, fathers. Yes, it does say fathers, but it's an interchangeable word. Like when you go back into the Greek, it's an interchangeable word. It could be fathers, it could be mothers, it could be fathers and mothers, it could be parents. So the idea here is parents, do not exasperate your children. So what does it mean to not exasperate your children? Well, don't frustrate or irritate them. And some of you are probably laughing inside of you right now. You're like I would never be able to talk to them because if I give them a command, they're instantly irritated. Like, oh, why do you always have to make things, you know, less fun or whatever? So I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about we're needlessly irritating or frustrating. We have to put up boundaries. We have to put up guidelines. And our children are going to be frustrated sometimes by that. But we don't need to needlessly frustrate them. So what is this needless frustration? What are some of these things that we do as parents that can cause this needless frustration in our children's life? The first one is excessive discipline, all right? If our child spills milk, they don't need to be, like, grounded for a month, okay? That's excessive. And you put your version of that in there. But we do need to do correction, right? Like, I mean, if my child spills milk, I'm going to correct it by saying you need to clean that milk up. That may be the correction that's needed in that moment. And for more severe correction, we may need to step in with stronger discipline. But we have to be careful with being excessive, where it's just like, man, where did that come from? That it seems so small. Another one is inconsistent discipline. So today, it's wrong. Next week, I guess it was right. 2 weeks from now, they're going to count to three and then do something. Like, what is right and wrong? I don't know. We need to be consistent in our discipline of our children. So if we say it, we've got to follow through and be consistent. Now, there may be times where as they get older, we may give more, you know, leeway and be like, hey, okay, so when you were younger, it was this. We're going to let it expand out to this new boundary. That may happen, but you're very intentionally explaining that to your children and then staying consistent in that. Let me tell you, inconsistency can be frustrating for a child because they're like, I don't know what's right and wrong, but it can also be an out for them. Think about this. Like, if we're inconsistent, our children begin to learn, it might be okay this time. Maybe I'll give it a shot. I got like a 50-50 shot. Maybe I'll get away with it this time. And so we actually give kind of a loophole for our children to maybe get by with things that we know they shouldn't be doing if we're not consistent. So we've got to stay consistent. Another one is favoritism. So I've got multiple children, and as we do this, we have to be careful of favoritism. We are naturally going to get along with some of our children better than other children. That's just natural. We are naturally going to love our children differently, right? Like Amelie, you saw her reading a book. Like, we talk about reading books, and she'll ask me different things about reading and learning. Her goal is to ask Daddy a question that he can't answer. Like, that's one of her goals. Another one of her goals is to be smarter than Daddy. And I told her, bring it on. Like, let's get after this, right? Like, so this healthy competition between us. Now, Ayla, we talk about music, and we dance together, and it's just a different kind of love. But I still love her as much as Amelie. And then Abel, we wrestle. Like, he runs me over. That's what he does. So that's kind of the love we have. But we have to be careful about putting one of our children obviously above the others and going, we love them more. Like, I wish you could just be like them. We got to be careful of that because it causes needless frustration and irritation for our children. Another one is overprotection. Now, it is our job as parents to protect our children. We need to protect them, and sometimes we're going to be careful just because we do need to protect them. But we have to be careful with overprotection, because it is the goal as a parent to intentionally release them throughout their life. We keep releasing them, and expanding the boundaries before we release them into the world, right? We may release them to a preschool. We may release them to school. Release them to, like, different extracurricular activities and staying at friends' houses or a job. We may release them to college. We may release them eventually to a spouse. And that's the goal, is to let them go. So we have to be willing to release, but and be careful of overprotection, that we're not releasing them when they need to be released. Last one that I have, and there's probably numbers of these. I just want to kind of sum up the list. The last one of these is pressure to achieve, all right? Now, I want my children to achieve their best according to who they are, but I don't want to put pressure for them to achieve something that Daddy has just put on them. And it's not them. It's not how God is shaping and forming them. I want them to be exactly who they're supposed to be in Jesus Christ. So I have to be careful to put pressure to achieve something that Dad wants that God never intended. So let me give you an example of this. Some of us have children that can walk onto a ball field or court, and, like, literally they could be so awesome. The coach is like, how long have you been practicing this? And they can be like, 30 seconds, and they're just phenomenal, right? That, some of us have children that are just that way. Some of us have children that can just pick up an instrument, and it's like, they just go. But we shouldn't expect the one that is great at music to, like, if they're not good at sports, we shouldn't put pressure for them to achieve at sports. That's not what they were made to do, all right? But I do want them to be the best at what they're supposed to do. So I'm going to find ways to challenge them. One thing with me, I'm not great with science. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense in my head. That's just some of who I am. And I had a teacher one time. I came home with my report card to my parents. I had a B. I was in high school. I had a B, and my parents were like, this is the greatest science teacher you have ever had. Like, just because they knew I was achieving my best under this guy. He was bringing the best out of me, right? They weren't going, hey, you should get an A. They knew Tim struggles with science. B is awesome. And so just how do we kind of foster in our children achieving their best? Now, we want to be intentional in training too. So the last part of this verse is that we're going to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so we want to be intentional in training. So how do we do this? How do we intentionally train and instruct our children in the Lord, in Jesus? Well, one way is bring them to church. Like, I mean, some of you did that today. Great job. But bring them in the church. They're going to learn in our children's ministry, youth ministry, college ministry. They're going to learn that. Maybe they're just here as adult, you know, they're your children, but they're adults. They're going to learn. That is really good. I want to get this across to you, though. It is not the church's primary responsibility to teach your children about Jesus. It is a parent's job. It is a parent's primary responsibility to teach their children about Jesus. Now, Metro Community Church is absolutely here to equip you, to help you, to walk alongside of you. We want you to be a great parent teaching your children about Jesus. But ultimately, that is your responsibility. And you need to embrace it and figure out how to do that. Let me give you an example. There's another passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, that talks about how we do this as parents. So let's read this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. All right, so here it's talking about just as you go. Now, we may not literally write them on our houses, though some of us may have the verses like hanging on the wall, on the plaque or something in our house. But it's not talking about literally doing it. It's talking about, like, as you go, everywhere you go, it just naturally can come out of you. All right, that doesn't mean every conversation is going to be all about Jesus. But you're just ready at any moment. Okay, so something really simple you could do. You could do this today. As you're leaving, just say, hey, kids, what'd you learn today? Now, it may be crazy. Like, they may remember the weird part of whatever they learned, okay? I've had those moments in my car. But it's the conversation has started. You're reinforcing what they're learning about Jesus. It may just be telling your children what you learned. Hey, I read this verse, or, you know, this really stood out to me. It's pretty cool. Like, I never thought about that before. It starts the conversation with our children. And you can do this with your adult children too. Hey, what'd you learn today? Or here's what I learned today. We can do that right now. Now, I'm going to give you two really practical things that my family does. I want you to hear this. I am not telling you you need to do this, okay? In our season of life, this works. It may not work in your season of life. But one thing that we do is we just pray together before bedtime. So we take turns. I'm going to tell you, you want to know what's going on in your kid's life, have them pray. Like, you'll know really quickly who's bothering them, what they're, you know, nervous about or having fear about. Like, it all comes out of my daughter's prayers, okay? And I learn about them as they talk to God in prayer. They also get to see Daddy and what he's talking to God about. They get to hear that. That's really practical. Another thing that we do in my family is on Mondays, we eat dinner at the table together. We do like a 5-10 minute like Bible study. It's not even that intense. It's really basic. And then we clean the entire house, because by Monday, it's usually a tornado. So that's just what we do, okay? So now you may be thinking, that's great, Tim. You're right. That is great for your season of life. But like, we're running around like crazy people trying to get everybody everywhere. And I got kids taking kids everywhere. I'm not even taking all the kids everywhere. I realize that happens, okay? That is a part of life. You may just do it in the car. Like, it may be weird. But I'm going to tell you, some of the greatest conversations that I ever had with my parents happened in weird places. Like, just because they were ready to talk. I had a phenomenal conversation with my mom about marriage, and we were in the laundry room, okay? She was definitely going about her day, and we're having this conversation. And I remember it to this day. I was a teenager then, and I remember it now. We just got to find intentional ways to continue to develop this within our families. Now, we're going to pray here in just a moment. And I don't know where you're at with all of this. For some of you, you may be in a place where you're like, you know, Tim, you talked about Jesus as the foundation. I don't even know what I think about Jesus yet. That's okay. I want you to know Metro is a place where you can ask those questions. You can kind of figure that out. We want to be a place where you can figure out what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. That's who we want to be. So if that's you, take some time and let us know or ask somebody around you, how do I have this relationship with Jesus? For some of you, if you're a teen or a young adult, you may be like, man, okay, I need to obey, but I need some prayer. Lean into that. Obey your parents. Just kind of put it, I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to start obeying, consistently obeying my parents, because I want a stronger home. I want a stronger family, and I'm going to be a piece of that. And for parents, maybe you have been consistent. You just needed some encouragement today. Continue to go. Continue to go. Don't quit. For some of you, you needed this reminder, and you're like, Tim, we've been failing. There's no greater day to start again than today. Just start it. Be consistent. Just get after it. You're gonna fall. You're going to fail. It's okay. Get back after it again. It's having that heartbeat that I want Jesus to be the foundation. I want to build those structural supports, because we got dreams for our family and we want to see it happen. And we know that to build a stronger home, we have got to build it on Jesus and with his structural supports. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for those today that they may not know you yet. And as they're trying to figure out their relationship with you, I pray for them. That they would hand their life over to you, that you could be the foundation in their life. Pray for the teens, young adults here, that they would just embrace a heart that desires to obey their parents, that their family could become a little bit stronger just because of a decision that they have made. Lord, I pray for our parents. Give them the strength to keep going. Give them the strength to be consistent. And for those parents that have just, they failed and they're willing to admit it, that they would start putting you back in as the foundation, because, God, I do not want the storms of life to come and to destroy families here. I want us to be strong enough that we can survive storms that come into our life, not because of us, but because of you. Do what you need to do with us today. I pray this in your name.